Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love, family. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in for another live edition of Twin Flame Radio. My name is Divine Queen, and I am here with my enlightened king. Chris, say a little something to the fam.
And I've been here all the time. I love that. I love that. I know my family loves it. So. Yeah, this is Negro. I was gonna say Negrito Chocolito, but I couldn't get it out.
Okay.
But I'm just gonna go.
it sounded
like a racial slur.
It
but is. I was trying to be. I was trying to get my Spanish on point, but I don't have any on point Spanish. So yeah, I'm Chris and Light. Peace and love, family. Peace and love.
Yes, family, we want to thank you for tuning in with us again for another live bomb episode of Twin Flame Radio. Tonight, we got a good one for you, fam. We are going in on the benefits of deities on an altar. And it's so fitting because right before this show, we were on the phone with our good brother Vaughn from Hawaii.
Shout out to Vaughn.
Shout out to the God. And we were just, like, discussing gods. We was running down all the different gods and, you know, talking about how they relate to us and how we see ourselves within them and them within us. And it's just a beautiful thing when you can, you know, just build on such a powerful topic with powerful people. So before we go in on the show, we're going to do like we do on every show because we can do that because we pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about what we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, what you want to talk about?
Let's talk about the Lovin' Hut.
Oh, let's talk about that. So, we have this dope vegan restaurant here in Cincinnati. They have a couple of them around different places. I know there's one up in Columbus, but maybe some other places, but called the Lovin' Hut. And surprisingly enough, Chris, you turned me on to this place. But wait. Let me tell the story right.
Okay.
Because me and Devin have been trying to get you to go to this place for the longest, and you didn't want to go.
Can't tell me what to do.
Facts. But you ended up going with your cousin. You had a good time, mm-hmm. and that was all you talked about when you came home.
Yeah.
When you want to go to the Lovin' Hut. Babe, we got to go to the Lovin' Hut. Babe, you got to get the crispy burger. Babe, I'm telling you, it's good.
It was.
Babe, listen to the man.
Yeah.
Babe.
Yeah. So I finally forgot her skeptical dorsal to go with me. And she went and there was a skepticism all over her face.
You know what? It wasn't that I was skeptical about the restaurant. I was skeptical about the item that you described.
Mm, okay.
Because you said that you wanted me to get, you need to turn your ringer off.
I am about to cut the phone off. Because I'm a busy man now that I'm sovereign.
Mm-hmm. But you wanted me to get the crispy veggie burger.
Mm-hmm.
And I can eat, you know, vegan food. I was vegan for a while. I just recently went back to eating chicken and just recently just stopped again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can eat a lot of vegetables. I'm good with vegan food, but I'm not a fan of the vegan burger.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, it just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
So I was a little leery about getting this crispy veggie burger, but fam, this burger was the bomb. It was so good. It was just,
It was. And the sunny sauce.
The sunny sauce.
It resembles something being squeezed from the teat from a god. It was so good.
You call everything the teat from a god.
Because you see just imagine extracting the nectar from a god's teat and indulging on it.
Yes, but it was really good.
It was.
It was really good. I was surprised. And I stayed full all day off that
burger.
We
was full all day.
I mean, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, we felt
that
nasty.
I think that it's a combination of us, you know, advancing spiritually and also just eating better. Because, you know, the more you advance, the less you realize you need to eat.
Yeah, I'm about to become a breatharian.
Mm.
I'm just eating breath. That's it. I need to be fed, baby. Give me some breath. I'll take some later. I like my breath cold.
That's my dragon breath.
That was hot. My tongue is burning. I didn't say Tabasco breath.
Be quiet.
I'm just joking, baby. It was sweet.
My breath is always nice.
Crickets. It is, though. You know, in 24 years, I have to say I've never smelled your breath stinking. In 24 years.
You never will.
Yeah, because when I think it's stinking, I don't go by it. I'm like, yeah, she just had a garlic burger. No love
tonight.
I don't tonight.
Eat garlic burgers. So. Anyway, enough about my breath and how you're lying about it. We go. You know what? I'm not even gonna go there.
Thank you.
Because I could eat you up right
you
there.
Could.
I could destroy you on the air.
You could. What are we talking about, beanies?
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. So yeah, we had a great vegan meal. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we do over the weekend?
That's about it. I kicked it with my niece and nephew, Maya and Tony and little Chris, my mom. Yeah, I had a good time over there. I love those kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in kid shape, but I love those kids.
We got a new spiritual book that we've been just enthralled in. We just, you know, so deep into the book, our nose, you can't even see our eyes. Our nose is just hitting the page. But,
The Dot of the Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Mm-hmm.
This is a book that breaks down things that goes bump in the night. Mm. All things spiritual, that is. And how to defeat them and how to fight them and
just recognize them.
It also gives some things on how to advance yourself spiritually. It gives some cheat codes on how to manipulate the reality. It breaks down a whole bunch of different facets on why we're even here on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And The Defense Against the Dark Arts is a book that I must say is a must-have.
Oh, yeah.
It's a must-have.
Fam, if you want to check it out, you can, of course, find it on tybro.com. That's TYBRO.com. Of course, written by our spiritual master, Dr. Mitchell Gibson. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to be a winner? Tybro.com. You want to be another winner? TheEnlightenedJourney.com. You want to be an even bigger winner?
IamDivineQueen.com.
If you want to be even bigger than that, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You're so silly. All right, so enough about us. So let's get in on these deities.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, I chose the phrase deities because a lot of people who are new to spirituality are kind of you know, weary when you say, when you call deities gods. They are gods. And I mean, if you look up the definition of a deity, it's a god. It's not the god, it's not the creator, but they are gods. And so a lot of people, when they're on a spiritual journey, they're okay with setting up an ancestor altar. That's not a problem for them because they're familiar with their ancestors. They know who they are. There's no fear associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you bring deities into the picture, when you start talking about putting gods on the altar, then it kind of steps up the spooky game.
Mm.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say the occult kicks in when you put a deity on the altar.
Definitely.
One thing about humans is this. You can only go so far with human effort,
mm-hmm.
whether it's living humans or transitioned or dead humans.
Mm-hmm.
They can only do so much. And most humans can only help you on their level of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an ancestor that believed in religion or whatever, when they transition, they're going to have a higher perspective of that religion, but they're still going to be bound by the boundaries of those religions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to win, you need to like tether your consciousness up with a divine force. And those are deities.
Mm-hmm.
Those are deities.
And there's nothing wrong with, you know, having your ancestors on the altar and looking out for your ancestors because, you know, a lot of times people get the misconception that they are putting their ancestors on their altar so that they can get something out of it. And like you said, that doesn't really fulfill everything because they're only able to do what they can do within the level that they're on.
Right.
And so a lot of times, what I think what the fam needs to know is that you're not just putting your ancestors on the altar so that you can get something from them. It's more of you're doing something for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in a position where you're almost like a god to them
mm-hmm.
because you're in a position where you can provide them different things you can provide them energy through different offerings that you give. And so it's good to have that establishment where, you know, there's like a give and take. But with the deities, it's just so much more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing that you can really give the deities that they're going to be like, I need this, you know.
Right.
Feed me, Chris, you know, because they're guys. They can manifest what they want. They don't even need to eat,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? But if they do, they can. But that's not to say, and we're going to go into that a little later about offerings with the gods. That's not to say that that you shouldn't give offerings, but it's not important as it is with the ancestors.
Right. With the ancestors, we're here to serve them. Where they are after they transition, resources are very scarce.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the things that we have over here. There's no iPhones, cable TV, internet, any of that stuff on the other side. So when we burn ancestor money and put food on the altar, the energy of that food is what they take.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to an apple, and you're eating an apple. All you're doing is eating solar energy in the form of an apple.
Mm-hmm.
Because the apple grows off the energy of the sun, and we're eating solar energy that's manifested in an apple.
So, well.
when you burn ancestor money and you give them food, they're taking the energy of the food. They're not biting that apple on your altar.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. See, one thing that a lot of people don't realize, the difference between deities and ancestors is this. Your deities can, like, whisper or give you, like, heads up on things that's coming within your reality. They can open up doors of opportunity because they have a different perspective on reality than you have.
Mm-hmm.
Deities now, they can reconstruct the tapestry of your reality. They can bend space and time and make things come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Ancestors can't do that. They don't have that power. They can see things because they can see before and after. Mm-hmm. You're in the present, but they can see before and after. So they can kind of cohorse you on things subconsciously through your dreams and things like that. Deities can make miracles happen in your daily life right now. You could be drinking a cup of water and say, I want some Kool-Aid. And that could turn into a cup of Kool-Aid. I'm being figurative here now. It doesn't work like that, but that's just how
right.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we've had, you know, we've both had our fair share of people reaching out to us and asking us, like, well, why, I have an ancestor altar, but why should I put deities on the altar? Or why should I have a deity altar as well as an ancestor altar? First off, as far as separating or keeping them together, I like to tell people that that's your preference. We personally, we combine ours. And we have our deities on the higher levels, and we keep our ancestors towards the middle and lower areas. And it's done that way just as a sign of respect. You know, because they're gods, you want to honor them as such. So you want to make sure that you're putting them on the highest level. They're getting the most respect. They're not on the lower level. Whereas an ancestor is, you know, can only go so far, you know, like you were saying earlier. So, you know, there's no difference as in, you know, if you want to keep them separate, that's your choice. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people want to keep them separate. That's completely fine. But a lot of people ask us why should they even be on the altar? What is the purpose of having them on the altar? And you made some really good points as far as, you know, coming to them, wanting to work with them, asking them for blessings and things of that nature. So there are different deities that you can reach out to for different things.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go a little bit in on that?
Yeah. First off, family, deities are nothing more than an energy source. Different pantheons call deities different things depending on which pantheon they're from.
Mm-hmm.
And most pantheons will give the deity an image of who they are because that'll empower you. If I'm a black man from America, I'm not going to create a deity and he's a Nordic deity. I want the deity to look like me because I want to see an image of that deity within me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's nothing wrong with pulling the energy from the Nordic deities. I rock with Nordic all deities if they're winning. I only rock with beings that are winning. But the one of the main reasons why you put deities on the altar is because that energy source will have something physical that can represent them. They can look through the eyes of the deity that you put on your altar and see you being humble, see you taking care of your ancestors, see you being diligent, going to your altar every day, see you like, okay, I'll work with this human. This human's going to the altar, burning ancestor money. He's showing signs of being an evolved soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to work with someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not a god. He or she is not a god, but they're an evolved soul. And I know that they will take my energy and run with it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what deities do. They read your minds. They monitor your actions. And they may watch you for lifetimes. And they may choose to not work with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. And so there's different deities that you can place on your altar for different things. A lot of people will ask, well, how do I know which deities I should put on my altar? And the answer to that is very simple. Whichever ones you want. Whichever ones that you are called to. The ones that you are attracted to. One of my first deities that I put on my altar was the goddess Yemiya, the goddess Kuan Yin, and Buddha. You know, they were one of the first few that I was attracted to. And I couldn't really explain why I was attracted to them. And, you know, and that's the thing. When they call you, you don't even realize, like, why is this person, you know, why is this God reaching out to me? What is it about this God that, you know, is, you know, calling
Hello?
Me?
Hello? Is that you, God? Hello? That's how you were. Hello? Is that you, God?
Shut up.
Okay.
You made me lose my train of thought.
Hello? Sorry. You're talking about deities, putting them on your altar, and how you and me, I was the first deity putting on your altar.
Shut up. Gosh. So anyway, there's different deities that will call out to you, and you know, you'll feel the need to put them on your altar. And like Chris said, the more that you recognize them, the more you pray to them, the more you give them offerings, and the more that you work with them on your altar, you'll start recognizing more of a presence of them within you. And the weird thing is that you may be called to different pantheons. You may, you know, have Yoruba, you may have Egyptian, you may have Hindu, you may have Greek, you may have Nordic or whatever. And you'll start realizing that there's something about that God that's oddly familiar. You'll start realizing that you kind of look like that God. You'll start realizing that the things that they like are the things that you also like. you will realize that the things that they are good at gifting at are the things that you really need.
Mm.
And so you discover that there was a reason, there was a divine reason for that connection, for that God reaching out to you to be placed on the altar. A lot of times they'll show up in your dreams and you'll know then that you need them. Sometimes you'll just be walking through the store and they'll call out to you and you just go buy it, like I did.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, divine,
you need me. But yeah, deities are wonderful. One thing about deities that I love, I'm a certified numerologist, so deities resonate with certain numbers. And depending on what numbers your name and your birthday delineates to, I can link you up with a deity that will definitely, for sure, work with you. That's the secret behind numbers. It's the first, like, the first language out here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of numbers, well, the first deity I put on my altar was Ganesha. It was something about Ganesha that I loved. This was even before I was a numerologist. It was just something about Ganesha that I loved. And come to find out, one of my numbers resonated with Ganesha, and for sure, he was one of my deities already on my altar. The second deity on my altar was Hanuman. I got Hanuman, and sure enough, he's the deity that resonates with one of my numbers. If you're unsure, you don't want to invest in me to help you link yourself up with six deities, you can choose the deity of your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That deity will for sure work with you, and the deity on my birthday is Hanuman. And I didn't know that until after I had already got them on my altar. So that's just a test. That's just a testament that your deities are speaking to you subconsciously without you consciously being even aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just go with the flow. Go with what you feel. Read up on a myriad of stories of deities and find out which characteristics resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to choose the deity. If you're a loving person, you don't want to get a deity like Callie or Indra.
Well,
I mean, yeah, I know Callie represents destroying negative aspects of yourself, but that's a strong deity.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, but yeah. I don't want to talk bad about the gods. I'm sorry, Kelly. Sorry, Andrew. Well, you may want to go the Oshu route.
Well, that's something that I don't want the fam to get misconstrued, though, because that is a big
Misconception
about the gods is that the scarier they look, or if they're warriors, or, you know, if they're known for causing destruction, then they're not good gods. And the truth is, there is no good or bad god. There just is. And the things that we fear isn't because of who they are. It's because of what we have been brainwashed into believing. We've all been given this broadcast of fear that has been sent down to us. And we fear everything. We fear our own shadows.
What's the name of that broadcast, babe?
The Demonium.
Facts.
And so, you know, we got to get over that fear. We got to get over, you know, oh, this looks evil, or this isn't pleasant to me, or, you know, what? You know, so just because a god is known for destruction doesn't mean that they're not loving, because they're destructing in the name of love.
Mm.
They're tearing down the things that are causing blocks for you. They're removing the obstacles from your life. They are making way for you to rebirth into something new and new transformation. So it's done out of love. Yeah, mm-hmm. They don't look as pleasing. It looks a little scary or whatnot. But we got to get out of that brainwashing of, if it doesn't look pleasing, then it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my only point.
I agree with that, babe.
Mm-hmm.
I like cute deities, though. I'm just joking, family. I'm just joking. I don't have a lot of deities, though. I'm joking, family. I'm so serious.
You on one today.
I am.
So let me remind the fam, if you want to call in, if you have any questions, or you just want to say what's up, our phone number is 619-924-0835. If you're already on the line, you can hit number 1. That'll let us know you want to come through, and that's what we'll do. We'll bring you through.
And you know what? I'm going to do something special for the audience. We didn't broadcast this,
mm-hmm.
but if you're if you're called in right now and you're uncertain which deities will work with you, give me your birthday and I'll let you know at least 2 deities that'll work with you.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll give you 2 deities that'll work with you if you want to. It's up to you. It's up to you.
A lot of callers over there, so we'll see what happens. Dang.
I didn't mean to back smack the spirit. Man, spirit? Go ahead, baby.
So, they can, you know, the deities can show up to you in many different ways. It can be through your dreams. I had one that showed up. You know, it's funny. We were talking about this earlier. I initially learned about Oshun was one of the earliest deities that I learned about.
Mm-hmm.
And instantly I felt the connection to Oshun. I was like, oh, yeah, that's, I love Oshun. That's me. That sounds like me.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone that we were around was like, I'm Oshun, I'm Oshun, I'm Oshun. And it was just like, you know, I didn't want to be on the Oshun bandwagon.
I got Oshun's shoes. My shoes are Oshun. I was like, dang, everybody like Oshun.
People were like dogging out other people like, she ain't Oshun, I'm Oshun.
Yeah,
look at me, I got
like,
blonde hair, she ain't got blonde hair. It's like, okay.
I like honey in my tea, I'm Oshun. Like, what?
And so me being the person that I am, where I don't like to follow, I like to, you know, be on my own path.
The rebel.
Yeah, I'm a rebel. Aquarius moon. But, you know, I learned about Yumiya, and I was, you know, attracted to her, and I thought, wow, you know, I love Yumiya. This is, you know, this is the one that I should be working with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with Yumiya. I was doing everything. I was giving her things. I, you know, prayed to her, gave offerings. And although I still love and respect Yumiya, I wasn't really getting the response from her that I thought I should.
Mm-hmm.
And so afterwards, not too long after that, I kind of questioned it, like, should I be working with Yumiya? What's going mm-hmm. on with that? And I had a dream that Oshun came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And in the dream, she told me that I needed to work with her. And so I was like, you know, really, Oshun? And it was weird because the more I started to research Oshun, the more I had in common with her. And it was, you know, it was something that I was fighting before, and it was right in my face. You know, it kept coming up, things kept coming up, and I kept dismissing it. And I was trying to force a connection with another god, and that wasn't who I was supposed to be connected with. So we have a caller on the line. You want to go ahead and bring him on?
Sure, I'll bring him on. Caller from the 917.
That's your mom.
That's my mama. What's going on with you? Peace and love.
Hey, peace and love, y'all. I just had to call in because I'm y'all number one fan. But anyway, my favorite deity, it's kind of like what Chris said. I like Buddha, and of course, Ganesh, that's my father. Mm-hmm. I remember even before I got on a spiritual path, I always loved elephants. I had elephant pictures, statues, anything by elephants. I just had an elephant collection. And then when I got on my spiritual path and I saw Ganesha, I said, oh my God, that's why I love elephants so much. So
mm-hmm.
Ganesha and Buddha, those are my two deities. I'm not trying to get in touch with nobody else because Ganesha, that's my father.
Mm-hmm. And she's right, because even when I was a little kid, she always loved elephants. Elephants everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why do you love elephants so much? I don't know. That's how
right,
you know,
so now I know.
That yeah. is a wonderful confirmation, but I'm going to make a suggestion for you. You uh-huh. want to bring some feminine energy onto your altar as well. You
oh,
want to have
yeah.
that balance. So you want to bring well, see, that's
Ganesha,
more male energy.
Who else?
You need
who
some
else?
Female.
Who else you said I should bring on?
I think Chris is pulling up your stuff.
Well,
now.
I can pull up your stuff now.
Okay.
But yeah, while he's doing that, I'll share with the fam the importance of having balance on your altar. You
mm-hmm.
want to make sure that you have both male and female deities on your altar. It's that way of just having balance within your altar and also within yourself. Because if you have too much of one energy on your altar, it can be overwhelming for you. Chris
okay.
at one time only had all male deities on his
warriors.
Altar. and they were all warriors. Mm-hmm. And he's already, you know, warrior enough. So
right,
He needed to invoke some more of that feminine energy. I think it was like for your birthday or Father's Day.
Oh, Almighty Isis.
You know, oil.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you say something about Isis.
Mm-hmm.
Oya will be a great deity for you.
Okay.
You want Oya, Nikki? Divine Queen?
Yeah. Oya is good. Oya is the goddess of the winds. So mm-hmm. she's a strong deity in the fact that she can stand on her own. She is also the goddess of the marketplace. She's the goddess of cemeteries. She looks after those who transition over. Sorry.
You're making a lot of noise.
It's all good. But yeah, she's a good deity to have on the altar. She would be a good one for you. Another one that would probably be good for you would be Bassette.
Mm-hmm.
And Bassette is the goddess of she looks after children. She loves music. She's the goddess.
Oh, that's me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Bassette would be really good for you. She loves magic. She loves cats.
Her plant is the weed plant. You know that?
Yeah. No, sure. That's not Bassette. That's
Seashat.
Yeah,
that's her.
Yeah, I like Seashat too, but Bassette, yeah, I'm gonna look her up.
Yeah, Bassette is a really good one. I would advise her.
Okay. All right, that sounds like a plan.
Women.
Yeah.
Well, all right then. Thank you.
Seashat is also good because she's the goddess of writing. So that would be a good one.
Yeah. I knew that about Seashat. Yeah.
Seashat is also really good to venerate with Tahuti.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna check both of those out.
Cool beans.
All right. Thanks, guys.
No problem. Thanks for calling in. Peace and love.
All right. Peace and love.
All right, fam. So, yeah, you want to make sure that you have a good balance of feminine and masculine energy. Another good question that came through was, how many deities can I have on my altar?
Mm.
And the answer to that is as many as you like. You know, you may be called to several different deities, and that's fine. I would suggest in the beginning to not put so many on all at once. You want to work your way up to it. And the only reason why is that because some people are really sensitive to energy, and so too much energy can cause a lot of, you know, confusion. I don't want to say chaos, but it can kind of disrupt the flow of your energy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave it at that. But sometimes you'll have a deity on your altar and realize, you know, this one doesn't work for me. I had one on my altar that, you know, I initially got them because this was in the very beginning before I knew who was who, and I thought he was someone else, and it turned out he wasn't, but I was like, yeah, I read up on him, he seemed cool, didn't really resonate with me, but I kept him on my altar anyway, and one day I noticed that the statue was cracked, and don't know how it happened, nothing ever fell down on my altar or anything like that. But I took it as a sign is that he just wasn't supposed to be there. So I removed him from the altar. So you can have as many deities as you want. The thing you want to keep in mind, though, is that the energy within the different pantheons are the same. So the god Tahuti, who is an Egyptian god, is the same energy as Lord Ganesha, a Hindu god. You know, the goddess Oshun is the same energy as the goddess Aphrodite. So there's in different pantheons, but same energy. All the gods are connected.
Mm.
Anything you think
of that? I love the gods.
Yeah. I got something I want to add. One thing I will implore you all to do is not to put a deity on your altar that's cracked or broken.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the signs of spiritual disrespect.
Yes.
You know, if you're making $100,000 a year and you go out and get a $2 deity, the gods know what you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
You want to really go all out on your deity. You want to show respect. We have some deities on our altar that are well over $300 to $400.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we respect them like that. You know?
And we can do it. You know, now, if you can't do it, don't do it. They'll understand. But they know what your limit is. But you can't fool the gods either.
Can't fool them. You can't be like, you know what, I'm going to get me these J's. I'm going to get me a $5 Oshun. You can't do that. And the real thing is, you can do whatever you want to do. There are no limits.
Mm-hmm.
Once you tap into your financial current, you're winning.
Mm-hmm. And so there's another thing that comes up is, you know, well, can I put this particular god with this other god or goddess? And some people don't believe in, you know, there being any true friction between the gods, and some people do. Me personally, I don't put anyone on there that I know that would cause, if they've had, you know, an issue with another particular god, I won't put them together. You can keep them on separate shelves. You can have them on the same altar, just not next to each other. However, some people don't believe that. They feel like, you know, the god shouldn't have emotions and I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's fine, to each his own. But to that, I will say that, you know, we kind of put too much weight on the gods as far as, you know, well, they're this and they can't do this and they can't have these feelings. And that's not true, because even though they are gods, they do have human aspects and desires and, you know, tastes and things like that. They don't need to eat, but they still love the taste of, you know, oranges and honey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't need to, you know, do certain things. They don't need to smell flowers, but they like the smell of flowers. You know, it's just...
It's kind of like your child that's 5 years old making you breakfast. You know it's going to be disgusting, but you're going to eat it anyway because you love them, and you're going to accept it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say disgusting. Let's just say not tantalizing for the taste buds, or just like orally pleasing.
There you go.
There you go. Excuse me, family.
So some of the things that you can do for the god. So some people will say, well, I have, let's say, I'm trying to think. We'll stick with Oshun since that's a popular one. I have Oshun on my altar and, you know, I want to show her the most respect. What can I do to let her know how much I love and respect her? And some of the things you can do is put the different things that they like on their altar. If they like, you know, for Oshun, she likes perfume, she likes mirrors, she likes soaps, things of that nature. You can put those different types of things on the altar to show her respect and, you know, honor and things like that. If there are things that they don't like, you want to keep those things away.
Mm-hmm. Poisoned honey.
Mm-hmm.
She can't stand poisoned honey.
I don't think anyone likes poisoned honey.
Well, the reason why I say that is because Oshun was poisoned.
Right.
Honey.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I put honey on my altar, I taste it first and let her know it's all good. It's good, Oshun.
Yeah.
Indulge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you definitely be, when you're giving an offering to the gods, you want to make sure that you are, just like, you know, how you don't want to be cheap about the type of statues that you buy, you also want to make sure that you're giving them the best offering possible as well. So you don't want to eat, you know, if you're eating a steak meal and then you go and you get them
peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to, they see you eating good, they want to eat good.
Yeah. I put extra jelly on there.
We got a caller. You want to bring the caller on the line?
Sure, I'll bring the caller on.
Caller from the 513-807. Peace, peace. You're on the air.
What's going on, family? How y'all feeling tonight?
Winning. Peace, peace.
Peace, right. Peace.
This my cousin.
Be healed from Cincinnati. You better bet it. How y'all feeling?
What's going on, cousin?
Oh, man, I can't call it if I had a three-way. Just enjoying y'all talk, which y'all share. them spiritual vittles, as you always say there, brother. I had a question for you both. I'm not new, but just starting my actual spiritual journey. I realize that it's always been in me, but now I'm just getting help pulling it out. So with me just starting my altar, where's a good place to start looking for my deities to get started for that purchase?
So me personally, one of the best places that I like to look is on Amazon. If you go to Amazon and you just type in the name of the god, or you can type in also bronze statues. They have probably some of the best deals as far as cost and the look of the statues.
Yes. Okay. Definitely go with the bronze if you can. You know, I didn't start out with the bronze, but I finished up with the bronze. They just look stunning, especially when the light hits them. The sunlight hits them, the candlelight hits them, the way the sage rolls across them. It just really looks like you put some effort into your altar.
And another thing you can do, depending on the different pantheons that you're into, like, for example, if you're into the Hindu gods, you can check out your local Indian grocery stores. And they sometimes carry the statues in there as well. Same with, you know, different Asian marts. You can find Buddhas and Kuan Yins and different deities in those stores as well. And there's a whole bunch of different stores that you can find online, but the best one for your money, I would go with Amazon.
You're in Cincinnati, too, so Trader's World. We got some deities from Trader's World, too.
Oh, yeah, Trader's World is good, too.
One thing about deities you'll find, Cuzzo, is that when you search them, they'll find a way for you to find them.
Mm-hmm.
We just started going to Indian restaurants and Indian stores, not looking for deities, and they just happened to be there. We were like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we ended up.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say,
we ended up just, you know,
looking for cauldrons.
Yeah, we were looking for a cauldron, and we, for some reason, you know, stopped in this huge Indian grocery store that's over here. And in there, I found Shiva, I found Parvati, I found Brahma.
Everybody Hindu.
Everyone that was in there.
Everybody.
Yeah. Hanuman, you know, they had everything in there, and they were beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I later, you know, changed them out, and I upgraded, got some better, because they were, you know, at the time, they were kind of cheap. You know, but I didn't know at the beginning, you know, so I was just getting whatever.
They weren't bronze.
They weren't bronze. Well, Hanuman was. Well, not the other Hanuman.
Hanuman was,
yeah.
Okay.
But yeah,
well, one of the things I heard you all saying earlier was putting your ancestors at the bottom. And at first I was thinking I was doing something wrong. That was going to be a question I had. Like, I don't know. Am I showing disrespect? But at my altar, I actually did. I put them at the bottom. And I guess it's just, you know, working through me that I'm already creating and making that space for my deities. I guess it's, everything is divine, just happening for a reason. So I'm just waiting to, you know, get that spark right now. Not rushing it. It's, you know, it's all new, but just taking it one day at a time. But I'm finding myself more and more. It was like when we go down there. Just one little time now is get home. I mean, yeah, I got a little 10 minutes to burn. Let me talk to these folks for a second. Get some of that feel good, positive energy, and keep going. So it's been great. It's a great journey. I went just trying to get to my higher self. That's what I'm with. I'm just taking one day at a time. I'm learning to do my meditations a little early so I can still have some time for my wife. Ain't that right, baby?
She just gave y'all a smile.
Yeah, you got to make sure. But that's it. Y'all just keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. Y'all blessed already, and it's more to come. Hit show. So just keep projecting that energy out there. It's going to come back. Stay the same. And always come around.
Appreciate you, Cuzzo.
Thank you.
No problem. But y'all have a good one. I'm going to keep listening. I'm going to get back to these children and my lovely lady here, my queen. Y'all
That's
have a
what's
great
up,
night.
You too.
Peace and love. That's a fine young man right there.
Yeah, she sounds like a fine.
He just got that light in his eyes. I was sitting there, and we was eating and just talking, and he just got the light in his eyes, like, you know? And he's always had that light, even when he was little. we're 10 years in age difference,
mm-hmm.
but I remember when he was little, he was always a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's an honor to, you know, spiritually mentor my little cuz like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything he needs spiritually, I'm here.
You know, it's great when you have more than one person that is open to spirituality within your family, because it's something that has been frowned upon, and that fear broadcast has been, you know, put into all of us that we shouldn't, you know, do this type of practices. We shouldn't do these type of things. Just look at it as a cult or pagan or evil or satanic or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's usually only a few, if not just one person in the family that will go this path. So for you to have, you know, a couple people, that's a big thing, especially with your, you have a huge family.
Yeah. Women.
Yes. So, another thing that you want to do that I think is extremely important. So we talk about deities on the altar. You also want to have some sort of representation of the creator on your altar.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people forget about that. They get so caught up in learning about all these different deities and, oh, this person sounds like me, and oh my goodness, this person can bring me money, or this person can help me advance spiritually. But they kind of leave out the creator.
Mm.
And so you want to have some kind of representation of the creator. On my altar, I have a huge sun that's above my altar, and the sun is my representation of the creator, because the sun is our means of living. It gives us energy, it feeds us, it keeps us alive, it, you know, it nourishes us in physically, mentally, spiritually, and everything. So for me, the sun is representing the creator on my altar. You can do whatever you like, whatever represents the creator for you. I would definitely suggest that you put that on your altar. And if you can, put it at the highest level that you can, because, of course, it's the creator.
And on my altar, I have Ra. He's a sun god, and he represents the creator on my altar.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can do whatever you want to have a representation. Be creative with it. It's your altar.
Mm-hmm.
Your altar is nothing more than a physical representation of your spirituality. There's no right, there's no wrong, there's no good or bad. You do what you feel. Go with your heart, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so what about offerings and praying to the gods?
You know, that's a good one, because I speak to my gods every day. I don't give offerings to them all the time, but I do speak to them every day. You know, I always say thanks for my ancestors for keeping me and my family safe. I talk about the elements, and then I talk about the gods. I acknowledge each one of the deities on my altar, and I thank them wholeheartedly, on the verge of tears, because I feel so good when I do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just, every day, that's just what I do. That takes about 7 minutes of me just giving thanks to the deities. And not the, please, deity, help me, deity. Not that type of praying. But it's more of a, like, I give thanks. I appreciate you. Thank you for helping me win. Thanks for the energy you're giving me. Thanks for expanding my consciousness. Things like that. A real direct humbleness that I give them.
Mm-hmm.
And year after year, day after day, I don't miss a day at my altar. I go every day. Some nights I'm up late watching a movie, 3 a.m., let me get my altar in if I haven't done it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after this show, we'll go ahead and do our altar work, right, altar practices, you know, but more than anything, they just like consistency.
Yes.
They love consistency, but even if you miss a day, that's cool, but just try to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you program your altar. You want your altar to be like a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
You want to show honor and give thanks and gratitude ritualistically, daily, every day. That's when the doors of opportunity start opening up for you. Burning ancestor money, feeding your ancestors, giving praise and things like that. You're showing how much you're an advanced being out here. And that's when the real magic starts.
Facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so some people feel as if... Well, I've had some people tell me, I've been giving an offering to the Jade Emperor, and I haven't gotten anything in return. Why is the Jade Emperor not recognizing me? And I asked this person, how often do you give offerings to the Jade Emperor? And he said, well, right now my car is down and I need it fixed. So when my car broke down, I reached out to the J Dumper and I've been giving them offerings. Well, it's not going to work like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can't just call upon the gods and pray to the gods when you feel like you need something in your life. You know, it's kind of like when you got that girlfriend and you want to, you
she only call when she needs something.
Yeah.
She only call when you need something.
Yeah.
I need 20.
I need some money. I need you to go fix my car.
I know I missed your last 8 birthdays, but I need $20.
Because contrary to what people believe, I know some people feel like the gods shouldn't have emotions, but they do, you know, and some of these gods are jealous gods. And if you're not, you know, showing them the utmost respect and love, then, you know, they're not going to show it back to you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I look at my deities and my ancestors like this.
I look at them
like I'm giving them something.
Mm-hmm.
I give to them with a Dharma mentality. I'm giving without wanting anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the trick is this. When you give from the heart consistently, year after year, day after day, month after month, the things you need, you just get anyway without even asking, because they know what you need more than you think you do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you say, if you're direct and say, hey, I want a new car, you may be shortchanging yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell my ancestors and deities, feel free to bless me any way you see that will benefit me the most. Give thanks. And that's it. I don't ask for things directly like that. In the times that I do, I get, because I don't do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you're not taking care of your ancestors and you have deities on your altar just to get things. It's not like that. It's more of the law of correspondence. Whatever energy you put into it, you can get out. It's kind of like an escrow or a checking account. If you don't put no money in a checking account, you can't go to the ATM and get any money out.
Mm-hmm.
If you put $5 worth of prayers in, you're going to get $5 back worth of prayers. It's just that simple. But if you put trillions of dollars of prayers in, when you need something, you'll get it before you even ask. And that's what I do. Anything that I need, I give thanks in advance. Like, thank you. You know, thank you for blessing me with this new car, even before I get the car. Because if I see it in my mind, that's one thing about people that they don't realize. When you think about things that happen in the ether and in your mind, the law of mentalism, it happens real time. But it takes time to extract that from the ether into your reality. But the more you give, the quicker things happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it works, family.
Mm-hmm. And you also want to do your research on the gods. You don't want to have Goddess Kuan Yin on your altar and you're asking for financial blessings. She is not going to always bless you in the way that you need. Her blessing may come in an indirect way, you know, instead of a downfall of wealth in your life. It may come through some kind of compassionate, you know, person doing something kind for you that helps you or something like that. So, you know, for example, if you're trying to work with a goddess for money, you want to look into, you know, the goddess Lakshmi. You know, you want to look into the goddess Oshun.
Fortuna.
You know, So you want to do your research on which gods you want for what particular reason, or which gods you want to, you know, give an offering or prayer to for any particular reason.
When you see yourself as a god, you can do the same thing to yourself. If you want more love in your life, start being more loving to strangers. Start being more loving to people. I don't want you to look at the gods like they're their only source of help. They want you to unlock the loving and powerful wealth energy that's already within you. We come here to this earthly domain with everything we need. We don't need a book to tell us to do anything. We already have it within us. So whatever it is you're trying to get in return, give it first.
Mm-hmm.
If you need money, start giving money. If you're down to your last $20, give $5 of it away and see how it comes back to you. Just see. And don't think like, oh, if I get it, I'm going to get it $5. Give it away with attitude. You need $5? You down in your last 10, you ain't got to let them know.
Mm-hmm.
You hungry? Yeah, I'll buy you something.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that, because you know that you're on that currency flow.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have that knowing about yourself, knowing things are going to be all right. Don't doubt. doubt is nothing more than the demonium taking over you. So now that you're aware of the demonium, see it when it's affecting you. When you start to worry, be like, man, that dang old demonium trying to get me. I'm scared. Man, that demonium trying to get me. I don't know if I feel ready. That's that demonium.
Mm-hmm.
And stand up. Pull yourself up by your britches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Ain't no spiritual punks here. Not here. You can't sit here.
That's what's up.
And have fun. Laugh more. That's what God, some guys laugh for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, stop just laughing. Laugh more.
I can honestly say that you will see a huge difference in your life after having deities on an altar or having a deity altar. There, you know, for me personally, there was a time where, you know, I was always like in a negative mood because I expected negative things to happen. You know, I, you know, attracted negative and dark things to happen to me because that was the state that I was always in. And when I started putting these different deities on my altars, I started realizing that it helped me not only to grow consciously, but it helped me to peel away these different layers that I needed to let go of. And it helped me to see why I was that way and how to use that energy in a way where it wasn't detrimental to me, but instead it helped me flourish and it benefited me more.
Mm-hmm.
So there is such a difference that you will see in your altar, in yourself after you have your deity altar. You'll recognize that different blessings come through to you. You'll recognize that the gods come through you in different ways. You may see, you know, a song, you may hear a song, you may see a color, you may see something or someone that represents that god to you, that looks like that god. And it, you know, it's just so many different things that have happened. The best thing you can do is to keep notes of different things that happen to you and always, always, always give thanks.
You also want to plant seeds of your spiritual growth that you can look back on. That's one thing God do. They create. If you ask for something and just sit in the same chair in your living room, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. You have to do something physical.
Yeah. The guys don't like laziness.
They don't like laziness. They like doers. They like creators.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to, if you're trying to write a book, write a book. Just start writing the book. Don't think about, I'm going to write this book and never start. Just do it, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. You can want to be a doctor. Start reading doctor books.
Mm-hmm.
Medical books, excuse me. I sound like I ain't never graduated high school. I went to computer school.
Inside joke, family. But yeah, you're right. You can't just say, you know, I want to be a millionaire. Now make it happen.
Right, where the money at?
Where's it at?
Where the money
ain't
at?
Ain't nothing happening.
Where the money at?
I ain't working with this guy no more. This guy don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it don't work like that. What they will do is open up pathways for you to make those dreams come true. So, for example, you say you want to be a millionaire, the God may present you with an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea may be something that can make you a millionaire. But if you never act on it, if you just put it aside and you don't follow up with it, you missed out. You know, the God may introduce you to someone that can set you on a journey to making money. But you might have shunned that person because you felt mm-hmm. like, you know, they were beneath you or you didn't feel like being bothered or whatever. So you missed your way.
You know, a lot of people don't realize this, but I'm going to divulge this. And now that you're aware of this, I want you to think about this when you get these ideas in your mind. Every day, there's a deity of ideas. And he gives every sentient being on this planet, every human being, two genius ideals every day to better their financial state. Most of the time, you get a good idea, like, yeah, that's a great idea, I'm going to remember that. And the demonium swipes your memory away. Now, what was that I was thinking about? Man, that's all right. I forgot all about it. But every day you get two genius ideas that will change your current financial state. So when you start getting these ideas or downloads, start writing them down.
Mm-hmm.
Simply write them down. I got a notepad that goes on for days where I just have all my ideas for books, all my ideas for shows. And when I have some downtime, I go and look. I say, oh, that's right. I get inspired by
mm-hmm.
that. Inspiration is something that's like the wind. It comes and goes. You're not inspired 24 hours a day, but when it hits you, you have to do something tangible so that inspiration can manifest in your reality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone, any real spiritual teacher that's not doing something,
mm-mm.
that's not helping people, creating something.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what gods do.
Yeah.
So if you're a sideline spiritual practitioner, get off the sidelines and get in the game.
You got to think, if we are of the creator, then that makes us creators as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may only be droplets from the ocean, but out of those droplets is enough that can do such wonderful and amazing things. So don't sleep on the fact that, you know, I'm human, what can I do, you know? Because the secret is, you're not human. You are a god. There is a reason why you have those gods on the altar. There's those reasons that you're attracted to those gods, because those gods are you. You're attracting yourself. The things that you love about them are the things that you love about yourself, or the things that you want to see come out of yourself.
Mm.
And you are that god. That god is you. That's all I got, man.
Women.
So, we're going to go ahead and bring this. Did you have anything else you want to add?
I had nothing.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and bring this show to an end. What are we talking about next week?
We're talking about altar
magic. I don't want to do that yet.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, well, I'm, baby.
I forgot.
Yeah, I'm put my eye out, baby.
Because I was trying to stop you from saying
it. You talking sweet.
No, I want to save that one for, because we just did altars. So I don't
want
to do
that
altar
for like Halloween-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about we do, you know what? Sweetie's Day is coming up. We should probably do a love show.
I was born on Sweetie's Day.
When is Sweetie's Day?
Around my birthday.
I know that. Duh. All right, so now.
We'll figure it out.
Maybe we'll do a love show next week.
That's cool. I like love.
No. So you say it's the week after that. Next week, let's talk about...
whatever you want.
Let's talk about elementals.
Okay, let's talk about elementals, fairies.
Yeah. We're going to talk about fairies. We're going to talk about elves. We're going to talk about gnomes. We're going to talk about all of them.
All these beings that we think are fairy tale, but they're true.
They're real.
They're real.
And they're right next to you.
Mm-hmm. Feeling on your left pinky toe.
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
We're going to go in on elementals next week. That'll be a good
let's
one.
Do that. Let's
all right.
Do that.
So, fam, if you would like to reach out to Chris or I, you can. I'm not really on Facebook anymore, but you can feel free to find me on Facebook under Divine Queen. Also, I can be emailed at iamdivinequeen.com. I'm sorry, iamdivinequeen@gmail.com. And my website address, iamdivinequeen.com, where I offer readings, tarot, intuitive, numerology. I also offer a session that helps you to identify different gods you can work with and remove blocks from your spiritual journey. Also have my book on the website, I Am, and also I have products on the website, different products that I make that I infuse my divine energy into. So you want to check that out, and Chris can be reached at
TheChrisEnlightened@gmail.com. I can be reached at YouTube.com. Look up The Enlightened Journey, that's T-E. Enlightened Journey. If you're quick with a pencil or pen or a keyboard, that's youtube.com/C/The Enlightened Journey Winning. I can also be reached at my website, theenlightenedjourney.com, where I do consultations for 30 minutes or an hour. I also do spiritual divine resumes to help people win and make more money than they ever have in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I do numerology readings. You can get my books, The Enlightened Taught, Poverty Conscious, the best-selling book, Wealth Consciousness, and I can also be reached on my home phone number, and that's, I'm just joking.
I was going to say, you better not.
I
I'm about to give him that Mike Jones. All the old schools.
Fam, make sure you check out our Block Talk Radio site. We have a plethora of different shows out there in our archives that you can check out.
Mm-hmm.
That is blocktalkradio.com/Twin Flame Radio. And you can also follow our Twin Flame page on Facebook. It is Twin Flame Radio on Facebook, where we have updates on the past shows that we've done and things that are coming up. And also, you can find information about Twin Flame Radio and my services on Instagram. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. I am Divine_Queen on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on the Chris of Light, too, man.
I don't know what you
I
are.
I think I'm on the Chris of Light. I don't know.
I think so.
I think so. But I'm on Instagram, too. Check out my bio. You can go to my Linktree page. And on my Linktree page, I got a listing of everything that I own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, fam, make sure you check us out, and we will be back next Monday, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Every Monday, unless we just don't feel like coming on. But next week, we will be going in on Elementals.
Mm-hmm.
And until then, this is Divine Queen and
Chris and Light
sending you out with peace, love, and light.
Winning.